Let's express God's our appreciation to God and thanks for the praise team. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I want to invite you to turn with me, please, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I do want to take a moment and say thank you so much for a marvelous celebration last week as we celebrated 30 years together. And I'm grateful for all of your gifts, your kindness, your cards, and encouragement. We had a great meal, too. Great meal. Thank you to everybody who served and those who provided leadership in bringing that to pass. Amen. If you get a chance, also, give a big congratulations to Dr. Williams, who was nominated for Leadership Evansville Award, and then Miss Lori Sutton, who received a Leadership Award. Amen. And that was a great honor. And I was thinking to myself, I said, "What was Dr. Williams honored for?" Well, someone submitted recognition for what she's been doing with the health ministry here at our church. And I tell you, I thought, wow. So to God be the glory for that. We're touching lives, and people are feeling blessed by what's going on in ministry. And so we're grateful. We're grateful for that. Very familiar passage of scripture. I do want to invite you to turn with me. If you're there at John chapter 4, I want to read verse 25, and then I'll show you where I'll go after that. In verse 25, the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one you're speaking to you, am he." And just then his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. And meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, I have food to eat that you all know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labors." Go back to that verse 35. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about how to fill the house again. How to fill the house again. How to fill the house again. Without question, across the country, people are talking about the decline that people are experiencing and with church attendance. People are across the country are doing surveys, and they are wondering, why aren't people attending church like they used to? What is going on where people are? Is it that they don't love the Lord? Or is it that people are busy, or people... And so people have they've been doing these studies, and everybody is trying to figure out, why is church attendance seemingly on the decline? And so the question that comes to all of us as we look around And every now and then, you see there's some spaces empty, and you wonder where so-and-so was or where so-and-so is, or is that they're going to other churches, or is it that they're going to no place at all? And the answer is a little bit of all of the above. It's a little bit of all of the above. But there's a text here that it's really interesting, and I'm wondering, and I was wondering as I was looking at this text, I was wondering as I thought about all of these things, Jesus said to his disciples, open your eyes and look at the fields because they are ripe for harvest. Open your eyes. Again, there's another text where Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And so is it that, how do we look at that text and then look at our times? Because when you look at our times, it would seem that either something's different with our times or something's wrong with the text. Is this text still true? Is the harvest still plenteous? Is there still plenty of people to be reached for the kingdom? I'm preaching this evening in Slaughters, Kentucky, and Steve Dane, the pastor of Mount Gilead Baptist Church, he said, we're going to be doing an evangelistic campaign at the end of the month, and we're inviting preachers to come in to talk about getting ready for evangelism, reaching out and seeking the saved and the lost. And I said, okay, I'll come and talk about that. But nevertheless, in the text today, the question that I was wondering is the harvest still what it used to be? Is there still enough people to fill the houses of worship? And I would suggest that the answer is yes. Matter of fact, I believe that there's enough bukinims to fill not just our church, but every church. And so the question is, how do we reach them? Can I tell you that reaching the people that we need to reach in days to come, we can't reach the people in the day the way we used to back in the day. See, back in the day, let's tell the truth, we in church, right? It is Sunday, right? We are in church. See, when I grew up, everybody who lived in the house went to church on Sunday. It wasn't an option. There was no rolling over, I'm tired, or I had a basketball game last night. You either went to church or you were going to the hospital. You just want to, or at least you thought you were going to the hospital. But we're living in a day, you know, people are saying you can't touch your children that way, and especially if they light skin, y'all catch that when you go home. But there was a day this thing wasn't an option. And we're also living in a day where folk, they get grown, but then they come back home. They get grown, but they come back home. And now you're dealing with grown folk under roofs, and they want to live by their own rules and whatever. And so I don't know whose fault it is, but I tell you what, I got some great news for us today in this text, because in this text, one of the things that I shared with you is this year I wanted to spend some time talking about developing leaders and help you to understand how important it is to develop folk who have leadership that God wants to use as leaders. And I'm suggesting to you that there is somebody in this text who is an awesome leader. Now, she would be overlooked. If y'all were to ask you, list the top five leaders in Scripture, her name would probably not come up. But I want to tell you that this sister in this text is a phenomenal leader who made a difference. And I'm telling you, if we look at what Jesus did and the interaction with this lady, we'll discover a way where we can fill the house again. We can fill the house again. Are you interested? Okay, here, let's go. Let's go. Are you ready? Got your pencils? Let's go. Here it is. The first thing, and I'm going to do these first few real quick, because you know you're familiar with the text, and I don't have to dig deep into the text because you're familiar with it, but it's Jesus giving us an example of how to fill the house based on developing leaders. Jesus is showing us how to fill the house based on how you pick leaders, identifying leaders. It's a real simple principle. Here's the first one. The first one, if we're going to fill the house again, every now and then we've got to choose a different path. Sometimes you got to go someplace that you normally don't go. Can I explain it? You do know the context of this whole thing is the fact that Jesus went someplace that his people, his kind, normally didn't go. It's as if they were heading, down I-69, and rather than going on up through Oakland City, they would turn and go around and take 64 over to 41, then take 41 on up, because there's the Jews in that particular day, they did not want to travel through Samaria. But what Jesus did, Jesus said no. He intentionally, matter of fact, when you look at the text, you'll discover Jesus saying, when the disciples were wanting to turn on the bypass, Jesus said, no, I must go. I must go through Samaria. Here's the principle. If you're going to get folk back in church, you got to go where the people are in order to influence, in order to engage with them. Every now and then, it's important for you to take a path so you can engage with people who don't normally. Listen, the fish are not going to get out of the water and flop their way back to the house. No, if you want catfish, you got to go where the catfish are. You either got to go to the pond or you got to go to Schnucks while the department is open. But it ain't going. The fish are not going to voluntarily make their way to your house. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Here's what Jesus does. Jesus was intentional. He took a path that most folk of his kind did not take. He took a different path. Here's the next one. Charlie, he was personal. Here's what you'll see as Jesus engaged with this young lady. He was nice. He took a different path, and then he personally engaged, and he was nice. You know, some folk, even as they evangelize, even as they witness, can be a little nasty. Where you been? Ain't seen you in. And I'm telling you, if a person would talk to me like that, I would say within my mind, you ain't going to see me another 6 months because I don't like you because you're mean and you're nasty. And here Jesus, the Son of God, full of grace and truth without sin, the one thing that you see, in spite of the fact that he's dealing with somebody who's got a reputation, Jesus is nice. You know what my prayer is for every child of God, especially who calls themselves a member of the Nazarene Baptist Church? I don't care who you engage with. My prayer is that when folk walk away, they'll say, you know what? She was nice. You know what? He was nice. It don't cost you nothing to be nice. After all, you are not the dispenser of salvation. I mean, after all, God's not giving you the responsibility of waking anybody up in the morning. After all, you don't have no holes in your hands and no stakes in your feet. Jesus died for, did I say everybody? Well, I meant to say everybody. Jesus died for everybody, including you and me. So what we see is Jesus intentionally travels a different path, and Jesus is nice. He engages this lady, and he's nice. Even when she's offended by his presence. Ooh. You know what I want to ask you, what I want to tell you today? Sometimes you'll engage with folk, and folk will discover that you're from a church, and that you love Jesus, and just the mere fact that you mention church and the Lord, they'll get offended. They'll cop an attitude. But can I tell you something up in here, don't you let the anger of other folk cause you to be offended because they're offended about your Christ. You see, here's the truth. The truth is there's a whole lot of folk who've been hurt. There's a lot of folk who've been bruised. And when you talk about the Lord and when you talk about God and when you talk about church, there are people that are still hurting because they've been bruised. They've been disappointed. One of the sons of our church said, I've been church hurt. Ooh, I like that term. What he's really saying was, I was in church, but something happened and I really ain't got over it yet. I've told you before, this ain't the first time I've told you this. The church is a marvelous place to get help. But church is also a place you can get hurt. But you know what I discovered? People may hurt you, but Jesus never will. We don't celebrate people. We celebrate Jesus. Have I got a witness here? There are people that may hurt your feelings, but not my Jesus. There may be people that look down on you, but not my Jesus. Because here we have in the text, Jesus shows us that every now and then we need to walk a path because it leads us to an opportunity to engage with people. And then when God allows you to engage with people, be nice. Got enough foolishness going on in this country. Be nice. We've got enough killing going on in this country. Be nice. We've got enough foolishness from Washington, D.C. all the way down. Let's show the world. Remember what Jesus said, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples because of your, you read it, because of your love one for another. Watch this. Not only was Jesus, did he travel this path intentionally, and as he engaged with this person, he was nice. But the other thing I love about this, Jesus was perceptive. He was perceptive. He was perceptive. You got to know that some folk that you meet, kind of like, I could do it one or two ways. I'll go this way. They're kind of like an iceberg. There's more to them than what you actually see. You see a small portion of what they really are. And one of the things that we discovered as Jesus engaged with her, and he was being nice to her, this was a woman. From verse 9 to 18, she was nothing but attitude. Nothing but attitude. Filled with attitude. You know the text. Jesus asked her for some water. And she knew by his dress, by his features, that he was a Jew. And she was, here's the way you can understand it. She was biracial. And she knew that a long time ago that the Jews had said some mean and nasty stuff about the people who were half Jews. And they ain't been talking, they ain't been friends ever since. And she was full of attitude from verse 9 through 18. I think if she was a sister, she would work in her neck. I think she would be somebody who had her hand on her hip. Matter of fact, I think she probably was somebody who would probably say, talk to the hand, talk to the hand, talk to the hand, talk to the hand. Because her response was basically, why you ain't got no business asking me for nothing. Why are you asking me for anything? Matter of fact, when you look at the text, she goes as far as to say, y'all don't even talk to us. I know about y'all. Y'all are the one that hit the bypass because y'all don't even want to accidentally run into one of us thinking that we got the cooties. Verses 9 through 18, she's filled with attitude. And here's what's going to happen. If you're ever going to get somebody to come to church with you, you're going to have to learn to have a level of maturity that can handle their attitude. They're going to have some hurts, some bruises. They're going to have some misconceptions. They're going to have some myths that they think are true but aren't. And we've got to have a level of maturity where we can handle all of that. And here's what I know. Here's what I want to tell you. You're not going to uncover and deal with all of their baggage at one time. That's why it's so important for you to be nice. Because people are also like an onion. There's a whole lot of layers to them. And at one time, you may have to deal with the layer of somebody said something that offended me. And as a mature believer, you might have to say, I know, that really wasn't a nice thing to say. That really wasn't a nice thing to say. I'm so sorry they said that, because that's not the attitude that the Lord would want us to have. You may meet them another time, and they'll say, well, preacher's just too long. You might have to say, you know, I know, you're right. Sometimes he is. But you know, we got so much that we need to learn, and there's so much we're trying to do. He just goes way too long because there's so much he's trying to teach us. But here's what I discovered. If you say amen. Every now and then, if somebody just shout a little bit, it may cut the sermon off by 10 minutes. Hey, what am I trying to tell you? Folk got hang-ups. They got hang-ups, and there's no book that I could write that can give you an answer to every hang-up that a person has. Then, Pastor, what do I do? Here's what you do. Just be led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost, won't he tell you what to say? The Holy Ghost, won't he tell you what to do? God has equipped within us the Holy Spirit so that we'll know how to interact with anybody, anywhere, at any time. Just be sensitive to the Spirit. Verse 9 through 18, she's filled with attitude. But then watch this. As Jesus tenderly deals with her in verses 19 through 26, she's becoming aligned with the will and the word of God. First, she got attitude. But Jesus handles her tenderly, kind. He's nice. And then, as Jesus begins to teach her and share with her and love on her, now watch what happens. She starts moving in alignment with God's word. Remember what she said to Jesus? Ooh, I perceive you a prophet. And then she started talking about, well, I got one more thing. Y'all worship over there. We worship over here. The question is, we worship, but y'all say we don't worship at the right place, and we say that y'all don't worship at the right place. I told you the people have layers. So who's worshiping at the right place? Because the struggle with the Jews was the Jews believed the big house, the big church, was in Jerusalem, because you go to church to meet God. So can God be in Jerusalem and at their mountain at the same time? She's confused. Who is meeting God? If God can only be one place at a time, then who does God meet with? Is he meeting with y'all, or is he meeting with us? And watch what Jesus said. Well, you know, folk are talking about that. But here's, let me tell you what God's looking for. God is looking for worshipers. God is a spirit, which means you can't lock him into 867 Walnut Street. God is a spirit. You can't lock him into 2400 Washington Street. God is a spirit. You can't lock him into a building. And here's what he's looking for. He's looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in. Hey, watch how Jesus deals with her tenderly, because she's wanting to get in alignment with the word of God. And Jesus helps her to understand, y'all, it ain't the place. Woo! One of the best things in scripture is to help us understand that we don't have to wait to get to a place to worship the Lord. Aren't you glad that you can't lock God in a place? That's why when you speak of, when you hear about the church in the New Testament, it ain't talking about no building. It's talking about the people. It's talking about the body of Christ. So I don't have to have a building to worship my God. Have I got a witness here? Matter of fact, as you grow in the Lord, you're going to discover there's a whole lot of stuff you don't have to have to worship God. Hey, don't get me wrong. I like having a bass player. Makes me want to thump my belly and pat my feet, but I ain't got to have it. I like having drums. Chris was smacking them drums this morning, but I ain't got to have it. You know what else I like? I like a synthesizer that makes them crazy sounds every now and then in the name of Jesus. I like that stuff, but I ain't got to have it. A Hammond B3 is sweet, but I ain't got to have it, because I've grown to a point, if I don't have no drums, it ain't got no bass, if I don't have a guitar, if I don't have a Hammond B3, if I don't have a Korg synthesizer, if I just got my voice, I'll lift my voice wherever I am and tell God, thank you. And if I get off key, it don't matter, because I'm trying to worship him in spirit and in. Those are amenities that are nice, but it ain't essential. It ain't essential. Then she said, well, I know. She had a question about where we worship, where do we meet God. Here's the second one, Tanya. She said, well, wait a minute. I got a question about the Messiah. Because here's what I know. The Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he gonna explain all of this stuff. And then Jesus looked at her. He looked at her. He said, girl, please. I got some good news for you. The one you talking to right now, right here, is he. And she don't say another word. I'm telling you, this needs to be a play. Because if she wasn't shouting, if she didn't say another word, what was she doing? Well, I know two things. The first thing I know, she put down the water pot. That's the first thing I know. And why do you put down the water pot? You put down the water pot because when you stand in the presence of Jesus, hey, Bobby, when we see Jesus, you may not wave your hand much down here, but when we see Jesus, and then she thought about it, and it got in her feet, and she started running back to town. Verses 9 through 18, attitude. Verse 19 through 26. She's aligning herself to the word of God. Then when we get to verse 30, 35, the disciples, they said, come on, Jesus, your Big Mac with bacon's getting cold. Come on, Jesus, hurry up. I told him to make your fries fresh, but you know it's been a long walk. Your fries are getting cold. Come on, eat something, Jesus. Just asking. Jesus said, I've already eaten. And then everybody started looking around. They looked around and said, oh, maybe somebody brought him a plate. Maybe they had a service at Nazarene. Because you know at Nazarene, they always have more food than they really need. You know, maybe they brought him a plate. Then Jesus shifts and gives them all a lesson. He says, you know, ain't it 4 months till harvest? You know, we planted the tomatoes. Isn't it 4 months till harvest? But open your eyes, look and see. He's looking out. He's looking down the road. And what he sees, they're looking at him saying, eat your fries. Jesus is looking past them and down the road, and here's a whole crowd coming from town. They're coming. They're leaving town to come be with Jesus and to hear Jesus and to see Jesus for themselves. This woman done gone into town and stirred up some stuff, and Jesus is looking beyond the fries, beyond the Big Mac with bacon, and is seeing the harvest. And Jesus is telling them, here's what I got to tell you. You thought that that harvest is 4 months away. But I'm telling you right now, if you just open your eyes, there it is. And we're getting ready to reap where somebody else has sown. Watch what Jesus says. You're getting ready. He's talking to his disciples. We're getting ready to reap because somebody else has sown. We're getting ready to enjoy the harvest, but somebody else did the hard work. Because you can't have a harvest without somebody sowing some seed. Have I got a witness here? Somebody got to prepare the soil, somebody got to sow the seed, and then somebody got to nurture the plant to maturity so that ultimately you can experience the harvest. Jesus says, open your eyes. Because we're getting ready to reap a harvest. And watch what's going to happen. The sower and the reaper, according to verse 36, we both going to be glad together. Hey, Keisha, we get to shout on two counts. We get to shout because when you sow, God lets you experience the fact that the seed was good. Because every now and then when you sow, you wonder, because it don't always come up. Talk to me. It don't always come up when you expect it to come up. And the question is, did I sow it right? Or is the seed good? And you don't know if it's good until it comes up. But here's what God told us through Paul. Paul said, one person sowed, another watered, but it's only God that can give the increase. And when you sow, you got to wait on it. You got to wait on it because radishes come up quickly, but tomatoes take time. Have I got a witness here? Potatoes take a little time. Collards take a little time. But if you just wait on it, God in his own time will give the increase. This woman fills the house. How could somebody go from all attitude to alignment with God and then become an evangelist in a matter of hours? Rep, it's as if, I mean, this is too good to be true. And this is a woman who's still dealing with some issues. Jesus is actually being a little sarcastic to the disciples. Because they've been rolling with Jesus. They've been close to Jesus for a little while now. And Jesus, in essence, is really telling them, y'all been with me this long, and y'all bringing fries. This woman been with me 2 hours, and she's bringing a whole harvest. Which tells us that it don't really take a long time to be used by God to be effective. What does it take then? Well, you got to, first of all, you need to drop the attitude. Align with his word and will. And then understand that you can change the atmosphere to make a difference. Hey, Regina, you want to know how she changed the atmosphere to make a difference? This is it. I promise I'm going to give you these three and I'll be done. How do I change the atmosphere so I can be contagious and fill the house again? Here's the first one. The first one was she made up her mind she was going to have a new priority. She came out there to get some water. But once she met Jesus, water wasn't her priority. She left the water pots because reaching people was more important than having water. Reaching people for Jesus. She changed her priority. Here's the next one. This is a good one. You're going to need this one. She let her past be the past. You should have shouted on that one. I'm going to rewind. She let her past be the past. Oh, didn't she have a past? Ooh. And when we get to heaven, we really need to apologize to this woman, because when we read this text, most of us want to spend all the attention on her past. But she went forward sharing that she'd met the Messiah, which means she had to forget about the past. You know why some of us having such a hard time sharing Jesus in the present? Because the devil keeps reminding us of our past. And you need to tell the devil to his face, the past is the... You know what Jesus died for? Everything in my past. And even in the present, when I confess my sins, you know what it becomes? The past. And that's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are in the... I'm reaching forward to the things that are before. She let her past... Her past is the past. Hey, here's the other one. She understood the urgency. Because Jesus is at the highway. And he's at a rest stop at the corner of 69 and 64. And she's urgently trying to get folk to Jesus because she don't know where he's going from here. This may be the last time that anybody get a chance to see Jesus. You know that when you pull over at a rest stop, you don't pull over for long. I did something that I'd never done before. When I was going by myself, going on that 9-hour, 600-mile trip to South Carolina, I pulled over to a rest stop and went to sleep. I was tired, I was weary, and I pulled over and went to sleep. I had never, ever in my life pulled over to a rest stop to go to sleep. Usually, we went to the rest stop because we were using the bathroom, letting the kids stretch their legs, or switching drivers. But this time, I had to pull over to go to sleep. But I didn't sleep all day or all night. Matter of fact, it was about 45 minutes, and then when I woke up, I felt good, cranked it up, and kept on rolling because I didn't go there to stay. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. She had a sense of urgency because she didn't know how long Jesus was going to be there. That's part of the story. You got to tell people he's at the rest stop, and we don't know how long he's going to be there, but you need to meet him while you can. She had a sense of urgency. Hey, and that last thing, here it is. She had holy boldness where she was willing to engage with people she used to try to avoid. There's some people you just try to avoid. I know. We all got a list. How many's on your list? 3. How many's on your list? 7. How many on your list? 10. How many on your list? 20. There's some people. For the sake of your sanity, you try to avoid. But God gave her some holy boldness. And she wasn't afraid to talk to people who used to get on her nerves. She wasn't afraid to talk to people that used to talk about her. She wasn't afraid to talk to people that used to stab her in the back. Because once you met Jesus, you got everything you need. Have I got a witness here? Won't he fight for you? Won't he teach you? Won't he forgive you? Won't he save you? And she filled the house. The whole atmosphere changed because she understood. I got a new priority now. She understood. I got a sense of urgency because don't know how long it will be. And y'all, I'm telling you, every now and then God will convict you to understand the sense of urgency. Young man had been discipling. He had a boo who was sick. And he says, I said, you know, I've been praying for her. And I would like us to, if you let me, I would like to go, I'd like you to take me to meet her. Because I'd like to talk to her to make sure and give her an opportunity to receive Christ as her Savior. I said, has she ever received the Lord as her Savior? He said, I'm not sure. We weren't connected with any church or anything. I wasn't sure. I said, well, I would sure like to meet her and just talk to her about receiving Christ as her Savior. He said, man, that'd be great. He said, I'll call you. 2 days turned into a week. Week turned into a month. Last week, I got the text, she died. And I said to myself, I told him I wanted to pray with her. I wanted to see if she knew the Lord. But I said, we'll do it tomorrow. You call me. My schedule's flexible. Yesterday, I went to Boone Funeral Home and to pay my respects to her and met her dad. He was grieving. I wondered if she ever trusted Jesus. I know one thing, I had an opportunity, but I didn't make it a priority. And the day turned into a week. Week turned into a month. Next thing I know, she's gone. I don't know if she accepted Jesus or not, but I know one thing, I missed opportunity. Jesus said, open your eyes. There's a great harvest that's ready to be received. Somebody else sowed. You're going to get to reap because somebody else did the hard work. And he meant not next month, not next quarter. The lesson is do it like this woman did it. She did it today. Today. And when when you keep on reading the text, now people have become believers because of how she reached out. They're babes because they're looking at her saying, yeah, we came at first because of what you said, but now we knowing for ourselves. Jesus hung out a little while longer because there were people eager to align themselves with the word and will of God. May God bless you, and may God convict you that it's not a good thing to put off an opportunity that you could do today. And may the Lord help us to be nice as we engage with people, travel a different path, that people may come to Him. And it really ain't about filling the pews. It's about filling people's lives with the love of God. And if you'll do that, there may be some folk that'll never darken the doorstep, but will come to know Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And one day we'll be walking around heaven, because you know everybody that goes up there going to be there a long time. You do know that, don't you? They're going to be up there a long time. And they're going to say, hey, John, you John Bush, ain't you? Yeah, you the one made that little newsletter. That newsletter helped me come to know Jesus. Hey, man, thank you. Hey, you Sister Bush, you the one that did all the typing. Hey, thank you. Hey, thank you. And we'll celebrate the Lord forever and ever. Let's thank God for the word.